And welcome to a Friday edition of Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. I'm Chris McPherson, and pleased to be joined by my man, Bo Wolf. And Bo, are you feeling overconfident going into this Sunday's game after what some fans were telling Dave that Bo and Chris were so overconfident? They need to be humbled a little bit after last Sunday's game against the Giants, because you know what? I'm not any less confident going into this game, because I think the 49ers are the absolute perfect tonic to get the Eagles back on track.
Really?
Yes, indeed.
Tell me why.
Let me start with the offense. Obviously, they need to get the big plays going offensively. And when you look at this Niners defense, there are some matchups that will concern you. Okay? Right up front, Jason Kelce, first battle in a 3-4. Sopoaga, the nose tackle. That's going to be a tough matchup. Sopoaga is a good nose tackle for them. I thought when they lost Franklin to the 49, or to the New Orleans Saints in a free agency, mm-hmm. I thought that might hurt them a little bit. But Sopak is very good. They have some very good pass rushers coming off Smith. Alden Smith, the first-round pick, very, very good. That's going to be a tough matchup as well. But when you look at the secondary, this is a secondary where I think you could see some plays where here's a play I think the Eagles could pull out this Sunday. I think you could see a fake stretch play to the side. You know, Deshaun will kind of go out like he's run blocking, and then he'll turn on the afterburners, and whether he's matched up on, you know, Carlos Rogers, who we saw last year against Washington, what he did, he'll blow right by them and get by that secondary for a touchdown. I think the Eagles are going to try to make that happen. They know they need to get DeSean Jackson more involved in this passing game, in this offense, to really get things going. Because when DeSean makes the big plays, that's where you really see this explosive offense. And then on defense,
yes,
this is the matchup, of course. I'm working my way through here. On defense, look, I think Jim Harbaugh has done a very good job of protecting Alex Smith. Don't know what Frank Gore is going to do. Look, Smith doesn't turn the ball over. I think he puts him in very safe situations. They have a very good tight end in Vernon Davis. I acknowledge what they have.
Protecting him from hurting them, I see what you're saying.
Yes, okay. Yes.
But not actually protecting him.
No. Offensive line's been horrible for them.
Yes.
In the run and the pass game. I'm talking about in working him in situations where he can be at his best. But look, they didn't get the ball past midfield until, I think, the second half last week against the Bengals. They barely put up any points on the Bengals. They're dead last in yards. The one area where you might be a little concerned is Ted Ginn. He had the two return touchdowns in the season opener against the Seahawks. Bobby April, I think, is very aware. Colt Anderson talked to him. He's very aware. They're very aware of the dangers that he presents. I think as long as they don't have turnovers, the Eagles have turnovers, which has been a problem for this team, and as long as Ted Ginn doesn't make some, you know, game-changing play, the Eagles should get back on track and get to where they need to be, 2-2 at the end of this week.
I will continue on this matchup of the Eagles defense against the 49ers offense. I think this is a game where we could really see this defense hitting on all cylinders.
Yes.
Starting with the defensive line, the Eagles lead the league in sacks right now. Defensive line has been doing a great job getting in the backfield, and they're going up against the 49ers offensive line that has allowed the most sacks per pass attempts in the entire league. You also have a 49ers running game that is 31st in the league, despite having a guy like Frank Gore. And in the passing game, the 49ers' top three receivers have combined for 188 yards combined through three games. This is a one-man offense, and that's Vernon Davis. And that's where we have to – the one thing that is going to worry us a little bit, and that's why I would not be surprised at all to see Nnamdi Asamoah matched up very often against Vernon Davis. Remember, against the Falcons, – defensive coordinator Juan Castillo said that they had planned initially on using Nnamdi a lot on Tony Gonzalez. Then Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie was hurt that week, so they couldn't fully implement it into the game plan. I wouldn't be surprised at all if we see a lot of that this week. And I do think that this has all the makings of a big day for the Eagles defense.
I think what Juan needs to do, they need to mix up the coverages on Vernon Davis. Now, certainly if Nnamdi's on him, you can definitely exploit that matchup there. But I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe see Brian Roll being inserted into the lineup this week as a star on the weak side. Let him get a couple of cracks at him. He's a feisty physical player, very fast, good in coverage. I wouldn't be surprised to at least see them mix it up, because I want to see the Eagles take it to him on the line. And the other thing I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit more of is the blitz game. Now, through the first couple of weeks of the season here, Juan Castillo finding his way as defensive coordinator, pretty much compared to Sean McDermott and Jim Johnson in the past, Castillo's blitzing half as much as those guys were when you look at the numbers. I would not be surprised to see him mix up a little bit more, maybe at the very least to try to get them to have to keep Vernon Davis in to help block. Now, they have another good underrated tight end in Delanie Walker, who pretty much, I wouldn't say he's like the fullback, but he's kind of utilized in that way in their scheme. He's kind of the decoy to help Vernon Davis get open. So I would not mind seeing a little bit more of the blitz game. I know it was kind of intimated going to the Giants game we would see a little bit more of it, but I wouldn't be surprised to definitely see it in full effect this week.
Yeah, I believe all but one of the Eagles' sacks, remember they lead the league in sacks, all but one of them have come from a straight four-man pass rush.
That's true. Very, very true. And they've all come from the defensive line, which is even more surprising. None of the corners, none of the linebackers have been able to get home so far this season. So thank you very much for spending your Friday morning with us. We have, I think, one of our best show. One of our best shows. In just a little bit, we're going to hear from Hall of Fame candidate, former Eagle, Troy Vincent, who now works in the league office. We're going to ask him about the Hall of Fame candidacy, what it was like being here with the Eagles for 8 seasons. What is it like, you know, being on someone who's worked with the player side? He was the president of the players union. He now works in the league office trying to better the league and grow the game. Just talk to him about all the different things that he has going on, because he was someone who was such an instrumental part of the community while he was here with Philadelphia, and he's looking to, I think, make a legacy that's bigger than what he actually did on the football field. And speaking of legacies, I'm sure most of you got to watch it last night. I was blown away by it. You were definitely impressed by the NFL Films documentary done on Reggie White and Jerome Brown, A Football Life. We're going to talk to Chip Swain, who works for NFL Films as a producer, who helped work on that documentary. And it was just – let's talk about this for a couple minutes here, because, you know, I wasn't here in Philadelphia when – the gangrene defense was in full effect, and when those two got to play together. And there's just so many lessons that you could take from that video. And it was just so amazing watching the relationship that these two had, because it was like they were both larger-than-life personalities that played in the same position group, but they were just totally different people, where Jerome Brown was the fun-loving guy, the charismatic guy, and Reggie White, he was fun-loving too, but he was the minister. He was the serious one. He was, you know, looked at as the leader, but it was they both in their different ways brought this team together and helped make this Eagles defense what it was.
Yeah, and it was great. Absolutely awesome documentary. You and I were texting back and forth throughout. And just the ability that NFL Films has to have so much footage.
I know.
First of all, on the field, some of the impressive sacks. Like, Reggie White, unbelievable, the things that he could do to opposing offensive linemen, and Jerome Brown as well. And then some of the other stuff, the behind the scenes stuff. I mean, when, you know, it got a little emotional when Reggie White is addressing veterans, the vet, just having found out that his really good friend
Jerome
Brown
absolutely
died.
Remarkable,
unbelievable. And you said this, and it's a great point. You will never ever see a reaction like that ever again in today's world, where people are texting and you know, find out things on Twitter and everything. For Reggie to break that news and the audible gasp and groan was unbelievable. You know, somebody, I think, busted into my apartment and was chopping onions at that point, because it got a little teary in there. But just an awesome documentary.
And speaking of, this is former Philadelphia.com staffer Steve Liner gave me this patch as a gift when he worked with us here. But this is actually from the Bring It Home for Jerome season in 92. So certainly, and it was just amazing how the players all rallied around that. And it was really, really intriguing to hear how it didn't become some rallying cry that kind of, they had it and it worked for a couple of weeks, that it sustained throughout the season. And then when they went to the Superdome to play that playoff game against the Saints, the Eagles, unbeknownst to the players, took the locker and moved it down there. Just the chills that you get from that just could not be stated good enough there. And I actually remember back in 2004 when Reggie passed away, we were in St. Louis. It was the end of the regular season. The Eagles were playing those couple throwaway games because they already had everything locked up. And I remember talking to Gary Cobb and Coach Reed and Dorsey Levins, who was on that Eagles team and played with Reggie in Green Bay, and just, you know, hearing the stirring tributes that they had regarding Reggie, and just everything that he stood for. Again, it was more than football. And I understand football was their avenue. Football is what made them famous. That's how people got to know him and love them. But just the fact that they became known for so much more than that is just truly, truly impressive.
And the other open wound that the documentary opened was Reggie leaving Philadelphia.
I mean, absolutely amazing.
It'd be great to find out what actually happened there with the offer from the Eagles. But, geez, to have him had stayed in Philadelphia. And you know what was a great piece of footage that I had no idea about? The rally in the city of Philadelphia.
I was going to bring that up.
Unbelievable. I don't know if you'd see that today either.
You will not see that ever again. Because, again, same thing. Social media, the internet, sports talk shows like us, Eagles Live, people will call in, people will go on Twitter and release their anger, but they're not going to, gather at City Hall. They're not going to gather outside of Lincoln Financial Field to, storm the gates, so to speak. So it's just a different era of football, a different era of society, but it's amazing how people still latch on to that time and just kind of look at that as, when you talk about what is Eagles football, that's what they look to as Eagles football.
Absolutely. And if you guys want to talk about the documentary, that we're more than welcome to do that. You can call in 215-339-6709, taking your calls throughout the show. We also have, as you said, packed show. We have Joe Dolan for your fantasy spin, and then Matt Barrows to give us the behind enemy lines on the San Francisco 49ers, get an update on Frank Gore and how these 49ers are preparing in Youngstown, Ohio.
Amazing.
For this game.
Right by where Jaws played his college football, Youngstown State. Outside of that, you really don't know it for much more than that. But the thing is here, they already came across country to play the Bengals last week. They came out with a victory. And the stats showed that teams that fly cross country just don't, from the West Coast to the East Coast and vice versa, just aren't successful.
Especially for the early games.
For those 1 o'clock games. So Jim Harbaugh, rookie head coach, trying to take the new approach and keeping the team in Ohio for the week. We'll see what kind of effect that has. I could see having the team bonding, the rallying effect, but we'll see how it plays out against an Eagles team that is going to be desperate for a win come this Sunday. Now, of course, Michael Vick was a big injury story at the beginning of the week because of the bruised hand. He's going to play. Said he's 100% certain he'll be out there in the lineup. In fact, he's so frustrated about how he's had to been taken off the field in the last two games that he said, "You're going to need a cart to take me out of this game." Obviously, very, very bold comments from someone who is such a tough competitor. But one of the big stories nationally has been the hits that he's taken this season. And former head of referees, Mike Pereira, the former VP of officiating for the league, now works for Fox Sports as an analyst. Showed his true colors in how he supports the referees, because he said it's ridiculous, it's bull, just blasting Michael Vick for his comments, saying that he doesn't get the treatment that other quarterbacks deserve, when it is so obvious, even from other players around the league talking about the issue this week. They say if you so much as sneeze around a Tom Brady, a Drew Brees, a Peyton Manning, those guys who are in the upper echelon of the quarterbacks in this league, they are going to get the flags. You see Tom Brady week in and week out barking at the referees to get the flag. And I understand Michael Vick does get his calls, but Michael Vick, you can't justify the volume of the calls just by looking at the number, comparing it to the other guys, because of the fact that he's going to be in many, much more precarious situations because of the way that he runs with the football. But he's still, as other people will say, at the end of the day, deserves the same consideration, the same treatment that quarterbacks get. If it's a late hit, even if he's holding the football and running around the pocket and running around the backfield trying to buy time, he is still a quarterback until he crosses that line of scrimmage and takes off with the ball.
Exactly. And Pereira had some sort of bogus stats package of comparing the
slanted
passer
slanted
calls
a little
of every quarterback in the league, but he didn't factor in the hits that those quarterbacks take. You can't just look at the passes thrown. It was sort of a bogus thing, just slanted in his direction, as you said.
Certainly.
But so I agree with Michael Vick that he doesn't get calls that many other guys get.
No.
We can agree that maybe after the game, after the loss, wasn't the best time to bring it up.
He's frustrated.
But
he's
frustrated. And he was especially frustrated, as you mentioned before, the fact that for the second week in a row, he wasn't able to finish. He's talked this week about he really feels like he's let his teammates down. And that's one of the reasons why he said, you're going to have to cart me off the field to get me off this week. I'm playing the whole way. The other story, that I saw on Pro Football Talk recently is they picked up this DeSean Jackson quote, which I was you'll see the full interview in a second, but they picked up this quote about DeSean saying, "My number one goal is to stay healthy," without giving it any context, or the follow-up quote in which he said, "Obviously, I go 100% on the field." I was sitting in the interview. I knew that that's what was going to be picked up because that's how the media works. They pick this choice little quote that gives them the story they want. But in order to give you the full context, why don't you take a look at DeSean Jackson in the locker room from yesterday afternoon talking about whether this team, this Eagles team, needs a win this week and his game plan for this week after two sort of slow weeks, the last 2 weeks and that big week one. He thinks he's in for a big game.
Over pass plays over 20 yards last week. Not that you need the ball, but do you guys need to find those explosive plays to be effective on offense?
I think, you know, we just need to get back to doing what we do. You know, go out there, you know, play football, move around fast. You know, stay away from, you know, shooting ourselves in the foot, penalties, you know, false starts, interceptions, turnovers, things like that. And I think as long as we do that, we'll be back, you know, to play Eagle football.
Said a couple of receptions over the last two games. What do you attribute that to? Is it the way the defense is lining up, or what are you seeing?
You know, it's just part of football. I mean, it's not going to always be able to go the way you like it to go. So just got to stick within it, you know, and just keep working hard. But hopefully, you know, it'll get better. But it's football, man. I'm one of 10 other players. So, I mean, it's not going to always go my way. It's not going to always be called my number. So, you know, I just got to help out, you know, whatever it is, help my team win.
It always seems like when you go through one of these stretches, though, all of a sudden you'll break out and have a big game. Do you feel like maybe this, you know, this 49ers game will be that game?
You know, I look at that every game. You know, I want to go out there and, you know, have a big game. So, this week in practice has been going good, so we'll see how it goes on Sunday. But, you know, I just go into every week, just work hard, preparation, go out on Sundays. And, you know, sometimes my number gets called. Sometimes, you know, defense does a better job of, you know, just playing defense. So we'll just see how it goes.
Do you guys need a win on Sunday?
I mean, you know, it's just respect. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of defenses are not going to let us, you know, just run past them and, you know, do the things we're great at doing. And we just got to find a way to, you know, make plays somehow, some way underneath, where, you know, if every team's going to be 35 yards back deep, you know, we just have to kind of throw underneath routes and do other things to, you know, kind of make them play honest. Because, you know, during the week when we watch film, we see, you know, these teams playing against other teams and they don't, you know, show the same thing they show us. So we just got to find it within ourselves.
How do you do? You're such a big star that your numbers are dissected every week and people are looking, you know, is his contract affecting him? Is it not affecting him? How do you deal with that, you know, coming into the season?
I can't really worry about that. Regardless of what people say, you know, I got to go out there and still, you know, make plays and, you know, be a receiver I think I'm capable of being. So, you know, rather or not I have the ball in my hands or not, you know, I feel like I already established myself, you know, in this league as one of the great receivers. So, you know, I just got to go out there and just keep doing what I could do. Stay healthy is the biggest thing. And as long as I can stay healthy, you know, regardless of where I'm playing, I think I'll be all right. Just stay healthy and go out there and just, you know, do my thing.
And we talk about being established. I mean, you're known mostly for your deep strikes and those big plays with teams playing back. I mean, are you working on those other aspects of receiving to be more of an underneath threat, a short yardage threat at all?
I think I do very well at the deep, you know, things. But, you know, I think if you – over the past 3 years of me being here, if you know, watch film, there's other plays I done besides, you know, just running deep. I done caught, you know, balls underneath too and took them, you know, the distance as well. You know, Kansas City last year I took a slant, you know, to 60 yards. So I mean, it really doesn't matter if it's deep or short or whatever it is. I'm capable of doing it all.
You guys need to win on Sunday?
Of course, definitely. We're 1-2. We're home. We lost first game at home. So, I mean, I think it's about that time right now for us to get one.
How much do you think about staying healthy? You mentioned that. I mean, it's obviously got to be a thought.
That's the number one priority, you know, stay healthy. I wouldn't be able to play the game if I wasn't healthy. So, in my book, that's number one priority. You know, winning is, you know, next in that category. So, as long as I'm healthy and we winning, man, regardless of my numbers, I think, you know, I'll be very happy. You know, just help this team, you know, be successful regardless of anything else, numbers or all the other stuff. You know, it really doesn't matter to me.
How do you balance staying healthy with playing full out in a game where it's a dangerous game?
It's just what you got to do, man. I don't think you can, you know, go out on the field and say I'm going to stop myself from getting hurt. I think you just got to go out there and leave it on the line and, you know, hopefully, you know, I'll be protected by the man above and things like that. But, you know, every time I step on the field, I leave it on the line. And, you know, I never go out there and try to hold anything back because that's how people get hurt. I got to go. Yo.
Thanks, Deshaun.
All right, welcome back to Eagles Live. We're proud to present you the full context of the Deshaun Jackson interview instead of taking out just bits and pieces. Now, we have two tickets for this Sunday's game between the Eagles and the 49ers at Lincoln Financial Field. Kickoff is set for 1 p.m. So if you want to attend, it's going to be very important to watch the rest of the show. We're going to give you four different clues. You're going to have to call us to give us all four clues, and then there's going to be a question associated with the clues, but make sure you pay attention not just to the names of the clues, but the order that they're given in. And we're going to flash the first clue right now: defensive end Reggie White. So make sure you mark that down, and that later on in the show, after we present all four clues, remember, note the name and some other different things, the order that they're given in.
We're not going to tell you when they're flashed after this. This is your first one.
Exactly. So make sure you'll call and you have to give all four clues and then answer a question. We're going to take a quick commercial break here on Eagles Live. On the other side, we'll be pleased to be joined by Hall of Fame candidate Troy Vincent.
Where do you go to find a super business? You know, the ones who do such a super job, they're backed by the super guarantee. Only Super Pages. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, you'll find the super business you need. So next time, let the good guys save the day. Get the super guarantee. Only at Super Pages. Online, on your phone, or in the book. Look for your Super Pages being delivered now.
Come out to the 7-Eleven Eagles pep rallies. Meet Swoop, Eagles cheerleaders, Eagles alumni, and have the chance to win great Eagles prizes. Check out the events calendar for more information.
At the end of the day, you can't fool people. Nothing sells like the truth. From our fresh pack sauce, to our fresh veggies, to our 100% fresh dough, never frozen, at Papa John's, we believe fresh is better. Nobody does what Papa John's does.
Carry out a large one-topping pizza for only $7.99. That's a large Papa John's pizza with your choice of one topping for only $7.99. Carry out only.
Everything's better when Papa's in the house. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's.
Saving for our child's college fund was getting expensive.
Yes, it was. So to save some money, we taught our 5-year-old how to dunk.
Scholarship. Honey, go get him.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our postgame show presented by Rico.
We are pleased to be joined inside the studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com by former Eagles cornerback and now Hall of Fame candidate Troy Vincent. Troy, I can't believe it's been 5 years since you last played in the National Football League. Talk about what it was like when you found out that you were a candidate for the Hall of Fame.
It was new news. Obviously, I was humbled, surprised at the time, and, you know, happy, and I think it's a tremendous honor, as we would say in the church, just to be in the number. Many people that are much, much more deserving than I, and I'm just happy and honored to be in the number.
Troy, it's your first year of consideration. What does that speak in terms of what you did, not just on the football field during your lengthy NFL career, but off the field as well?
Well, as I reflect back on my career now, it just speaks to the body of work. And at the time, I was just a worker. You know, my time in Miami and Philly and in Buffalo throughout my entire 15 years, I was just a worker. I just wanted to come to work, bring my brown paper bag, and play the game the way it's supposed to be played. Honor a coach, execute the assignment, and give the people, the fans, what they came, what they paid to see. Was a good performance, an honest performance, an effort. And now when I look back, you know, when you see that other people have now taken notice to the body of work of 15 years, you know, it didn't go in vain. And obviously players are reciprocal. They come in and go. But to be considered by some to be, you know, your body of work speaks to be one of that of a potential Hall of Famer. It's an honor in itself.
Troy, we know how great you were on the field, those five Pro Bowls, three All-Pros, but how important was it for you as well to leave a legacy off the field?
Well, I think that was the most important thing. I think that's what it's all about. And as an athlete, as a person, as an individual, we all have a responsibility to our communities, whether it's the community that we've come from, the community that we play in. To play at the National Football League level on that grand stage, I think it's about, you know, where you are and how many people can you affect, not just in the locker room, but outside the locker room, because there's so many people that are looking up to us as athletes, as role models. So, you know, being part of the community, embracing the community, embracing people of need was just a fabric of my life. It's something that I took pride in. It's something that I wanted to make sure that I was involved in with the Eagles Youth Partnership and the things that they were doing. That was my local community. I grew up, you know, 15 miles from, at the time, Veterans Stadium. So it was important for me to be part of that community in that Mercer County area over in Jersey.
Troy, you continue to do that to this day. You are now the vice president of the NFL Players Engagement Organization. You've made wholesale changes since you took the position. Just talk about the impact that you continue to have, not just on the league, but in the communities that the NFL deals with, and as well as trying to showcase to the players how important it is to be a part of the fabric of the community.
Well, that's our number one priority, how is to developing better professionals as they transition into the league, as they transitioning out. And we want to emphasize what players are doing in the community, but more importantly, what they're doing while they're here and really taking advantage of the resources that are around them. There's no one player that's bigger than the game. So inside of our department, Prep Life Next, we're into the prevention side and our prep platform. That's our high school and collegiate platform. Life is our current. And then our next is our recently retired transitioning player. We believe that to develop a better pro, you have to teach and develop young men to be better professionals. And that's our sole focus, is to make sure that at the club level that we minimize that risk that's associated with what comes along with our territory. And we want to develop better people, better husbands, better teammates, better fathers, better uncles, cousins. And that's our number one priority.
Troy, how much more do you think you're respected because of the fact that you were a longtime player in the National Football League, a Hall of Fame caliber player, president of the Players Union, and now that you are working on the league side? How much more respect do you get from the player side because of your resume?
Well, when I speak to an audience, I've been there before, so I'm not speaking about the subject that I've learned through text. I've lived it. I'm a personal testimony of what the National Football League can be for you, what it does for you and your community, what it could do for your family. I think players appreciate that. I want to be an example of what a player sees himself at, you know, 15 or 10 years or 5 years after he's removed from the game. A professional, a father, someone that respects the organization and appreciates the opportunity to play in the National Football League. So I think my work off the field speaks much louder than what I did on the football field.
Now, Troy, you came to the Eagles as a big-ticket free agent. We're a part of some great secondaries, of course, and the Eagles, of course, brought in another big-name cornerback this offseason in Nnamdi Asamoah, trying to create another great stable of cornerbacks. Your reaction to the guys that the Eagles have here now, and then just the pressure of coming in and expecting to be perfect?
That's the unfortunate part of being a high-priced free agent. I lived that, you know, I was once that guy leaving from Miami, coming to Philly. You know, at the time, a big number that was associated with myself, and now anyone who comes in there, from Asante to, now the current guys, and living up to the expectations of what we did. And quite frankly, we played a different, I call a different fabric, brand of football at the time. The things that we were asked to do were a little bit differently than what they're asked to do today. But that's part of being a high price free agent. When they consider this group an outstanding group, I'm humbled that I'm still considered to be one of the better players that have played that position for the Philadelphia Eagles. Unfortunately, the flip side of that is living up to 3 or 4 championship games, conference wins, Pro Bowls, and then meeting the expectations of the fans, which I think is the most important thing. It's playing for your teammates. But when we came to work, and if I can just go back in history a little bit, there were no prima donnas. You know, we checked that at the door. When Jim called on an assignment tour, I need you to do this week, and I need you to follow this person all game. It wasn't about interceptions. It was about, you know, maintaining and controlling someone that might have been their number one guy. But between myself, Bobby Taylor, Al Harris, Allen Rossum, Brian Dawkins, all we wanted was the call, and we were going to line up and play.
Troy, some of the Eagles teams that you were a part of started out slow, 1-2, much like the current Eagles team. What were some of the things that you guys would do to rally to get things back on track? Because much like the teams when you played, this Eagles team has a lot of talent, but we're just not seeing the full, I guess, potential fulfilled just yet.
It's very early. Don't panic. The talent, it's one thing when you don't have the talent and you're 1-2, you're starting off slow. You have a different view when the talent's there, the coaching is there, everything's in place. It's just a matter of finding your rhythm. And that's the most important. You got to believe in your coach. You got to believe in the play call. Don't start pointing fingers about who's not doing what. It's a long season. It's a marathon. And you have to believe that you're going to get it done. But it starts during the week. And quite frankly, what you do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday is the best predictor of what results you're going to get on Sunday.
Troy, so many great teams in that early part of the decade for the Eagles. Is there one year that you look back on as thinking that was our best team?
I thought the year that we lost to Carolina in that championship game when they came to the link and knocked us off. I thought we had what it took to get to that next level. Obviously, that day we weren't the best football team that day, but I thought that particular year we had a good running game, good passing game. Defensively, we were solid, but I thought that particular team that year was one that sticks out because we beat up on some people pretty good that year.
Troy, how surprised were you by the fact, looking back now after all these years, that the Eagles teams, that none of those in the early 2000s were able to come away with a Super Bowl? You mentioned the 03 team, the 02 team, you know, lost in the conference title game as well. How surprised were you that the Eagles did not come away with a Super Bowl during those great years?
You know, it wasn't in our deck of cards. You look back and we can say woulda, shoulda, coulda. We got beat by better football teams. And you look at the teams that won the Super Bowl during those years, they were better. The reality were they were better teams. You look at those Patriots teams. Those teams were better football teams than we were. We just didn't, you know, with all the things stacked in our corner, home field advantage, momentum going into the playoffs, healthy, we just got beat by better teams.
Troy, do you still watch this Eagles team? Do you root for the current team?
When I can, but today my boys are in, I have a young man in high school, so my Sundays are occupied. So I don't have many opportunities to watch football on Sunday at all outside of highlights. But obviously I'm so close to the organization, I still keep a pulse on what's going on, but I haven't actually physically sat down and watched the game in its entirety.
Former Eagles cornerback Troy Vincent, Hall of Fame candidate, now a vice president in the league office, working with the players to make them better citizens. Thank you so much for joining us here inside the studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Another good thing about GEICO is they've got, like, real live people working there 24/7. So, like, say you need to report a claim, right? A real person will be there to help you. Then you can use GEICO.com to view photos of the damage, track your claim, print an estimate. You want an English muffin? They literally hand you a toasted muffin with butter and jam. Oh, it's tasty. That's a complete dramatisation, of course, but you get my point.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Guys, healthy green tea, tasty black tea, real sugar. That's what makes Snap look extraordinary. Not this.
Healthy green tea, tasty black tea, real sugar.
What'd he say?
No idea.
Snapple. Made from the best stuff on earth.
Yes, sweet. How can you eat ice cream every day and still fly?
Simple. It's not ice cream.
Sweet, sweet. What?
It's frozen yogurt from Turkey Hill Dairy. It's enriched with calcium and vitamin D for stronger wings. Try some.
Mmm. It's delicious. I'm going to get some for myself. Gotta fly.
Turkey Hill Dairy's frozen yogurt and light recipe ice cream. Enriched, timeless goodness imported from Lancaster County.
Hey, Eagles fans, this is Mike Vick, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Want the latest Eagles news as the story breaks? Then follow us at Eagles Insider on Twitter. You'll not only get breaking news, but pictures, inside information, and prize giveaways. So make sure to go to twitter.com/Eagles Insider and follow the leaders of Eagles news.
Thanks to Troy Vincent, and best of luck to him as he's one of many Eagles that's in the process now to become a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And below on the screen right there, we're going to give you the warning. Clue number two, Clyde Simmons. So
give it to him.
Well, the clue, it's right there on the screen.
Yeah, but they got to pay attention.
Well, I'm just like, that's fine. That's fine. Hey, if they didn't see the first one, they're already behind there. So, again, we're going to hear from Chip Swain in just a little bit, who helped produce the documentary about Reggie White and Jerome Brown, A Football Life, that aired on NFL Network. And if you didn't get to see it, we have a six-minute sneak peek clip that we can show you right here. We're also going to talk to Matt Barrows from the Sacramento Bee to talk about the 49ers. And we'll hear from Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com. But let's talk about, you know, real quick here about the Eagles defense. We kicked off the show talking about them a little bit here. And Troy touched on this, the difficulty that the cornerbacks have coming here as big-ticket free agents. And really, you look at all three, the top three guys. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie was traded for a franchise quarterback and a second-round draft pick. So certainly a hefty haul right there. Then you have Asante Samuel, who was the big-ticket free agent in 2008. And you have Nnamdi, who, sort of like how I kind of texted you with this comparison, how Green Bay kind of stole Reggie White to the surprise of everyone around the league, the Eagles got Nnamdi to the surprise of everyone around the league on that first crazy day of free agency. But just the challenge that they have to come in, and they have to be virtually perfect, it seems, in order to be viewed as success stories here.
Right. You know, Nnamdi gives up a touchdown pass here, and the other one, the other missed tackle is Victor Cruz. And, you know, he has a really good game and two bad plays, and everyone points to him. And I think it's fair to say that he's still adjusting a little bit to this scheme. He's used to playing, 98% press man corner in Oakland, and he's doing.
I was apparently wrong on that, I guess, because I asked Juan about yesterday, and he said, "Oh, he played a lot more zone than you think." Even though my research and knowledge pointed to that he was exclusively
right. Yeah, I'm going
man.
Off Greg Cosell.
Yes,
I'm talking about it, but yes. But you know, he's playing a little bit more zone now. That was he was in cover two there, didn't quite get his head around in time. But listen, they have a full season to get acclimated to each other. I think there's a full expectation that these corners are going to be really, really tough to throw on, and they have been tough to throw on. And, you know, I think this week, not really scary receivers too much. Vernon Davis we talked about, but it could be a big week for the Eagles defense.
I would certainly expect it to be the case. Here's another thing about Nnamdi is he had his first interception in over 2 years in that Atlanta game a couple weeks ago, where it was a very smart play where he actually was covering the receiver. He read that Matt Ryan was going to Tony Gonzalez. He broke off his man, got the interception. And I remember seeing tweets about, well, if Nnamdi was so great, why wouldn't he have 10 interceptions this season? It's because no one throws
right
in his direction. Now, still this season, even with the big three in place, Asante Samuel is the most targeted of the big three. But Nnamdi did give up his first touchdown, like you point out. But I think he's given up, I think, 5 receptions on 10 balls thrown in his direction so far through 3 games.
And Asante, you said the most targeted, but it's also the fewest yards.
I'm pretty sure, and I would have to double check, but I think definitely after last week that still remains the case there. But this is a 49ers offensive line that now people will criticize the Eagles offensive line for the job they've done protecting Vic. I think that's a bit overblown, by the way, because even Marty Morningwake pointed out, and I specifically asked Marty on this point in the press conference, How are the offensive linemen doing in protecting Vic? And Marty said flat out, they've done a good job. There are times where Michael needs to get rid of the ball, and that's why he's taken some of the hits maybe unnecessarily than in other situations. But when you look at this 49ers offensive line, you're like, there's a bunch of first-round picks along the line, but they haven't been able to get it together either this season, not in the run game or the pass game, but in neither the run or the pass game right now. So I definitely think this could be a matchup that will be well exploited. And as you smartly point out, by the fact that since the Eagles haven't been blitzing as much as in previous years, Asante has not really been able to, you know, get in his ball hawking swag, I guess I'll pull out here, because of the fact that he likes to jump those hot routes, and without the blitz, he's not able to do that as much.
Right, yeah, and I think we talked with Asante in the locker room yesterday. He talked about the expectations for the defense this week against the 49ers, how they can bounce back from being 1-2, and just the culture in the locker room right now as they move forward.
Gore.
Frank Gore.
We don't know if he's going to play or not. Does that, you know, if he doesn't play, does that mean a team that hasn't really done well throwing the ball, that they're going to have to throw it more?
I mean, if he don't play, man, I mean, you know, he's definitely an explosive asset for the offense, and he's a hell of a player. So, I mean, you know, who knows what the game plan would be if he don't play. But, you know, we're just going to go out there, and whoever's out there, we're just going to try to whoop whoever's ass out there.
Where are you guys at, Son? I mean, the last couple games, you guys have gotten behind a little bit early. There have been some gashes. Where are you guys at as a defense right now?
I think we're in the point of we're putting everything together. You know, we're gelling. You know, we still got a couple new faces in and out of the defense. So I think we're just trying to gel everybody together and, you know, definitely at the end of the day get a win.
Is there anything you can – first 80 yards, you guys are shutting them down, and then once you get in the red zone, it's kind of where the – but maybe pass defense, you've given up 8 touchdowns. It's not kind of something that's carried over from last year. What do you see there, Asante?
You know, it's just bad red zone defense. Like, going back to last year, you know, we just got to figure it out. Well, we figure out how to stop the team from getting in the end zone, whether it's, you know, however they get their turnover, they drive down the field once they get down to the red zone. You know, we just got to try to only give up 3 points.
Anything you can point your finger on as to why you guys have been so good in the middle of games but had some struggles in the fourth quarter?
No, I can't really say. You know, it's just executing the defense and everybody doing the assignments. Like I say, you know, it's a new coordinator this year, new faces, and, you know, we're just trying to gel together. But, you know, I think we should be all right.
49ers' best weapon in the pass game is Vernon Davis. Do you have to do anything different because they're so tight end focused passing wise?
Yeah, definitely, man. He's definitely a tight end that has receiver speed, so you know it's definitely a mixed match for most linebackers. So you know, we definitely going to be watching out for him, and you know he's a big part of the offense. So we try to take him away. You know, we help ourselves out.
Do you think you'll be the second leading tackler again this week?
Let's just say I hope not. You know, I'm not a. They don't pay me enough to tackle. As everybody know, I'm not the tackling man. So when I have too many tackles, it's a problem.
What does this defense really need? I mean, do you need a shutout? Do you need like a win? What does it need the most right now?
I think for the defense, I think you know holding the offense to maybe a total of you know just under 200 yards, maybe just over 200 yards, it'll be a good win for us, and we come out with a victory and you know stop them in the red zone. I think we'll say we're on our way.
Maybe a couple picks.
Yeah, you know, definitely a couple picks. You know, for Deuce, you know what I mean, or whoever get it.
Any defense can be a great defense if the middle area is just not the strongest part.
Or even do I? I don't, you know, I don't know. You know, I who's to say? You know, you will always be a good defense. Just, you know, just you have all defense have weak spots and have strong spots. So, you know, the strong got to outweigh the weak, and you know, just everybody gel together and make plays.
How do you think Nandi's?
Us? Yeah, definitely. We got a lot of potential. You know, we got. A lot of good players, you know, just gelling together.
And speaking of gelling, how do you think Nandi's doing? You know, playing more zone than he's ever played in his career. How do you think is he coming along?
Yeah, he's doing well. He's doing well. You know, everybody have a little oops and you know here and there, but you know when you know everything wouldn't be as bad if the loss was. You know, if we'd have won, you know, it wouldn't look as bad. So that's what we're dealing with, and we lost, and you know, Nandi's doing fine.
Asad, did you ever think you'd see the day where, I mean, 8 touchdown passes in 2 games against this group? I mean, you guys take that personally? I mean, how much does that bug you?
Yeah, definitely, man. We're very prideful over here. You know, we love to win, and we love to compete. So whenever we're getting out-competed, it's definitely a problem as a competitor. So, you know, we're definitely going to strap down and, you know, make a difference.
Any predictions today?
Last question.
Huh?
Do you have any predictions?
Predictions, yeah, definitely. Predictions is, I guarantee tomorrow's practice will be better than today's.
Sweet. Guaranteed.
Are you?
Yeah. In about 15 years.
I just want to commend you for sitting in coach.
Why?
Well, you're saving, but you still need some financial advice. We need a plan to help protect and grow our money throughout our life.
Retirement isn't the finish line.
Where are you going?
Back to first class. We can afford it now.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
Sweet belt. E-reader for textbooks. GPS. HD video cam for lectures. Gamepad. Have you ever considered this? It's got all that and more than 200,000 apps.
Technology to learn and play on the go, only at Verizon. Buy one Droid 3 by Motorola, the thinnest full-QWERTY smartphone ever for $199.99 and get another one free.
40 years. 14,610 days. 1.2 billion seconds of Gatorade science, passion, and evolution. All for the 1 second you needed. The G-Series. Prime. Perform. Recover.
Times are tough. It can be hard to find that little extra bit of money. That's why you should get the Inquirer. It comes with so many coupons and money-saving deals, savings almost fly out of its pages. Use the Inquirer every day, and those savings really, well, pile up. In fact, last year, the Inquirer carried over $129,000 worth of coupons and special ad offers. That's a heap of money. So get the Inquirer. It could be the difference between getting by and getting going.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, online banking with bill pay, and the flexible options you need to help make the pieces of your life or your business fit together a little better. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking.
We're pleased to be joined inside the studio by Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com. And Joe, the first thing that we want to get into in this Eagles 49ers matchup is the fact that it looks like Michael Vick is going to play. He said he's 100% certain. Jeremy Maclin indicated that he will play as well. What are you doing with the Eagles' offensive weapons since it looks like they'll have their full complement on the field for the Niners?
Well, Chris, I think it's going to be a game in which the Eagles have to throw the ball. And, you know, unfortunately, it's going to be a difficult matchup. The 49ers have a very good defense. And because the offense doesn't score a whole lot of points, I think the defense gets underrated. It's really a unit that can keep them in games. That said, I think the Eagles eventually are going to have to start stretching the field and taking their shots. And this has got to be the week they do it against an offense that probably isn't going to score as many points as the Giants did last week. So I think this would be a perfect week for the Eagles to start taking their shots. So if you have Deshaun Jackson, I feel pretty comfortable about playing him. Jeremy Maclin is another story because the hamstring injury, as we know, can really just creep back up on you at any time. So if you have a backup option that you feel pretty good about, he has a good matchup, you might want to consider pulling Maclin. But I think the Eagles are going to throw the ball because although the 49ers secondary isn't weak, it is probably the weakest unit on their defense behind a great offensive line and a very good set of linebackers.
Joe, you mentioned that 49ers run defense. I think they're second best in the league, allowing under 3 yards per carry. Does that mean that, obviously, you talked about the Eagles' passing game, and with Maclin having that hamstring injury, are you thinking of maybe a flex play for a guy like Jason Avant or Steve Smith or even Brent Celek if you're in a situation where you had a guy like Kenny Britt go down last week?
I think it's a possibility. I think Jason Avant is just much more reliable at this point because he's put up more consistent numbers. And I think if the Eagles spread the 49ers out, especially with Maclin having the injury, I think Jason Avant's going to get some chances. Now, only in a deeper league would I consider him because, frankly, the Eagle passing game has not been clicking, at least statistically, this year. So Jason Avant is an option, maybe in a deeper league, but Brent Celek I probably wouldn't consider because I could see him staying in the block against this front seven. And Vic Fangio, the defensive coordinator for the 49ers, he comes from the Dom Capers school, and he's going to bring Michael Vick a lot of blitzes from a lot of different locations, and he's going to force Vic to recognize. And if the Eagles realize that he needs help, they're definitely going to have Brent Celek back in the block. So I'm not too sure Brent Celek is going to be a candidate for a huge game.
Now, Joe, on the flip side, the Eagles defense is going against a 49ers offense that didn't get the ball past midfield until the second half last week against Cincinnati. They're dead last in the league in total yards, even though I think they're 12th overall in points. Do you think this is kind of a good bounce back week for the Eagles defense?
Absolutely, Chris, but the guy obviously that you've got to watch is Vernon Davis. You know, the Eagles, the area they've struggled on defense has certainly been the linebackers and the safeties, and I think the 49ers are going to try to define some easy throws for Alex Smith, and they're going to try to get the ball to Vernon Davis and even his backup, Delaney Walker, another athletic tight end. This is the guy the Eagles have got to watch, and I'm absolutely certain Juan Castillo has gone and looked at the tape from 2 weeks ago when Dallas held Vernon Davis to just two catches. And what Dallas did was they provided consistent pressure. They made Vernon have to stand and block because he's a very able blocker. So the Eagles are going to have to try to take Vernon Davis out of this game in any way possible. And I'm really interested to see how Nate Allen plays and how Brian Roll plays in their first starts this year for the Eagles. And Vernon Davis is going to be the guy that's going to test them the most. And then another guy that I'm very interested in with Frank Gore shaking up with the ankle injury, Chris, is Kendall Hunter. He's the rookie running back. He has more natural juice than Frank Gore. And if Frank Gore can't go or if he's limited, I think Kendall Hunter is going to be a very strong part of the 49er offense. He might be a worthwhile flex play because the Eagles have been giving up the most fantasy points to opposing running backs this year.
All right, Joe, let's take a look around the rest of the league now. We'll start with the team that the Eagles are going to see next week, and that's the Buffalo Bills. They've really had one of the most explosive offenses in the league, somewhat surprisingly. They got a bunch of receivers who have been fantasy, you know, I wouldn't say stars, but good players for the first couple weeks. How for real are you taking guys like David Nelson and Donald Jones? And obviously we know Steve Johnson is among the elite at this point.
Absolutely. You know, the interesting thing about these guys is, like, there's a disconnect between actual football talent and fantasy production. I think David Nelson and Donald Jones, they're two players that we tier as, we use a phrase here called just the guy, meaning they're really average players with one specific skill that really puts them on a roster. You know, David Nelson is a big guy, he's about 6'5", and Donald Jones has some vertical speed. But other than that, neither of them is anything spectacular. But in this offense, when the Buffalo Bills are throwing 40 passes a game, they're going to get targets. And even if you're not thrilled about a guy's physical ability, you have to understand that when he's in an offense that's very conducive to throwing the football, conducive to a guy getting targets, he's going to have fantasy relevance. So right now, David Nelson's been a guy who's just, I believe he's caught 16 or 17 balls over the last 2 weeks alone. And Donald Jones is a guy who has touchdown this year. He's been seeing some targets as maybe the number three guy behind Stevie Johnson and David Nelson. So these two guys, they're absolutely worth owning. You just have to understand that they're going to have some duds because ultimately they aren't the most talented players in the world. They're just in an offense that throws the ball a lot, and Ryan Fitzpatrick is in a really good groove right now.
Two running back situations I want to ask you about, Joe. First, in the AFC, you have a situation with Cedric Benson who looks like he's going to play this week even though he's going to be suspended. What do you do there? And then in the NFC, you have James Starks in Green Bay who looks like he's going to be the go-to guy for the Packers with Ryan Grant with this kidney situation all of a sudden. What are you doing with those couple of running back situations?
Well, I tell you what, Chris, if I'm in a league where both of these guys can project as volume backs for me, I'm starting them. Because in fantasy football today, volume is a very rare commodity because teams rotate running backs so much. Cedric Benson, until he's actually suspended or however that situation goes, he's going to be a guy that's getting 18 to 25 carries a game. If I drafted Cedric Benson as a guy to play either my number two or my number three running back role, I am rolling with him until he gets suspended, and then I hope I have Bernard Scott, a guy to pick up at least just to fill in for a couple weeks while Benson sits out. James Starks, you know, I said all along that drafting Ryan Grant was going to be a move that lost you your fantasy league. Well, that looked like a good statement through the first 2 weeks, and then last week Starks was atrocious, and he lost the fumble, and Grant looked pretty good. But now Grant got hurt, and Starks is going to have to use this opportunity to kind of rebound, and I think he'll grab hold of it. I think you'll see 15 to 18 carries, and if I have him as a flex, which is usually where he should have been drafted, I feel very comfortable using him this week.
Joe, last question. You know, it's only been 3 weeks, but are there any guys who were highly drafted that, you know, you've already seen enough from to think, I don't really need them on my team anymore?
Well, I don't know about not needing them on my team because I probably wouldn't drop a guy who I drafted highly, but the guys that I'm absolutely willing to sit if I have a better option right now are D'Angelo Williams and, unfortunately, Rashard Mendenhall. You know, starting with Mendenhall, the Pittsburgh Steelers and offensive coordinator Bruce Arians, they just love putting the ball in Ben Roethlisberger's hands. He's their best player, and they view him as just a guy who's a freak athlete. He can escape the pressure behind that terrible offensive line, and he can create plays where no other quarterback in the NFL could create. And Rashard Mendenhall has been getting hit really early behind that banged up and that brutal offensive line. He's trying to bounce everything, and right now he's averaging only 3 yards per carry, and he's just not getting the volume we had anticipated. D'Angelo Williams has been absolutely brutal this year. He's averaging about 2 yards per carry. The Panthers aren't running the ball in the first place, which is really surprising. This is a vertical-based passing offense. They really trust Cam Newton. And Jonathan Stewart has looked pretty good the last 2 weeks. He's still not getting the volume we would like to see from this offense, but he's certainly outshined D'Angelo Williams. Ron Rivera has said he still believes in D'Angelo Williams. They gave him the big money contract, and he's still going to start. But until he has one of those typical D'Angelo Williams games where he averages about 7 yards per carry and scores a touchdown or two, I'm absolutely willing to sit him. And this week, especially against Chicago, not the matchup you want to play a guy like D'Angelo Williams.
Joe, we could talk to you all day. If you want more projections, analysis, even NFL coaches film breakdown of how guys are playing, just go to fantasyguru.com today and sign up for a subscription. Joe Dolan from fantasyguru.com, thank you very much for joining us here inside the studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Another good thing about GEICO is they've got, like, real live people working there 24/7. So, like, say you need to report a claim, right? A real person will be there to help you. Then you can use GEICO.com to view photos of the damage, track your claim, print an estimate. You want an English muffin? They literally hand you a toasted muffin with butter and jam. Oh, tasty. That's a complete dramatisation, of course, but you get my point.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
You can say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the flames, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Where do you go to find a super business? You know, the ones who do such a super job, they're backed by the super guarantee. Only Super Pages. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, you'll find the super business you need. So next time, let the good guys save the day. Get the super guarantee. Only at Super Pages. Online, on your phone, or in the book. Look for your Super Pages being delivered now.
She's even more beautiful now. Are you me? Quite a while from now. So, how'd I do? You did great. But don't forget about us. We still need financial advice. We have to protect and grow our money. You never know what's around the corner, Grandpa.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
Want the latest Eagles news as the story breaks? Then follow us at Eagles Insider on Twitter. You'll not only get breaking news, but pictures, inside information, and prize giveaways. So make sure to go to twitter.com/Eagles Insider and follow the leaders of Eagles news.
Very disappointed there, Bo. Very disappointed. Welcome back to Eagles Live. And remember, this Sunday, the Eagles are battling the 49ers. It's a 1 p.m. kickoff and is the first of two tackling breast cancer games. We have great merchandise, brand new merchandise for the 2011 season that are going to be available at the Eagles Pro Shop at Lincoln Financial Field starting this Sunday. And if you want to attend the game, there's a little clue down at the bottom. So make sure you're taking note of that. It's the third of four that we're going to produce for you here in the show. But even though the game is not until Sunday, the action really gets going. Starting tonight, we're at Duffer's Mill in Marcus Hook. Linebackers Jamar Chaney and Keenan Clayton will be there. I believe it begins at 7. It's from 7 to 9 p.m. That's at Duffer's Mill in Marcus Hook for the Bud Friday. And then on Sunday, You could get into the stadium beginning at 10 a.m., or I should say the Headhouse Plaza, where we're going to have some great giveaways in the plaza. You got Mr. Green Jeans performing in the plaza. So, but just make sure, the bottom line really is to make sure you get there to the stadium as early as possible. If you try to get into the stadium at 12:45, pretty much you're going to be looking at the fact you're going to miss the kickoff for the game. So, and we're going to have Trey Thomas in the house as the honorary captain. Seth Joyner was in as the honorary captain a week ago. He did a phenomenal job raising the Eagles flag. Trey Thomas will be the honorary captain, but he'll be taking part in the coin toss prior to this Sunday's game between the Eagles and the 49ers. Now, some reports from the practice field. The only players not taking part in the workout, and there's really no surprise, cornerback Brandon Hughes and defensive end Jaquay Parker because of injuries. Darrell Tapp and Jerry Macklin are out of the practice field. And when you're starting to look at the lineup for this weekend's game here, Bo.
Are we going to play? Is it time?
I think it's time. I think it's time for a little inactives. What do you think is going to shake out now? How do you think the injury situation might affect what the Eagles do with their lineup?
Well, I think that the two guys who haven't practiced this week are down.
Parker, I would agree.
Vanderbilt will be down, I assume. The question is who replaces Brandon Hughes special teams-wise. Is it Jaquan Jarrett or Curtis Marsh? And we talked to Bobby April about that in his press conference yesterday, and he said they're both capable of doing it. Marsh, he thinks, has maybe a slight edge only because he plays on the outside. But I'm also not sure, I'm not positive that either will necessarily have to play, because you can replace, I think, Brandon Hughes with Hozelio Hansen. It's possible that they're both down.
Okay.
I think at least one other offensive lineman, Justice or Watkins, probably Justice. And then I think maybe Watkins again.
I was going to say, I go
think
both.
They probably go seven.
I think that all three of those offensive linemen will be
and
down.
And if it's not, if either Jared or Marsh plays, then who else sits? I'm not sure. You go quarterback?
I think it's quarterback. On my list here, okay, I'm going with Curtis Marsh would be up with Mike Kafka being down.
Really?
Yes.
Now, we talked about this, and I'm not sure they're going to go that way, only because if Michael Vick, for some reason, is out of this game and you have to go with only Vince Young, I don't know if you're worried about the hamstring acting up.
Yeah.
I feel like you'd be more – the Eagles would be more confident going with just Mike Kafka than just Vince Young. Not necessarily that Kafka is a better player, but just because he doesn't have that worry about the hamstring.
Yeah, but after the Giants game last week, I want the better option. I agree with you in the sentiment of you might want to keep all three up just as insurance, because you know Vince Young is now, of course, 100%. Andy Reid had to say it not once but twice in almost back-to-back questions
right at
his press conference on Monday, and he'll actually be talking to the media in just a little bit here, and we'll bring that to you live, as well as Michael Vick's locker room availability live right here on Philadelphia.com's Eagles Live. But I just feel like that you're going with the guy that gives you the better chance to win. And you brought in Vince Young for the situation where if Michael Vick gets hurt, he's the guy that should go in there and can go in there and kind of right this ship for whether it's a series, a quarter, a series of games, whatever have you. Young is the best guy fit to do that. And I think that now that he's 100% healthy, should be good to go in that regard.
I agree with you, but I will differ in that. I think that Young and Kafka will both be active. My guess is going to be that both Jared and Marsh.
Not surprised. I would not be surprised by that. I'm just kind of going where
sure.
I would like.
Yeah,
I would like
have some little difference.
You know, I would just like to see. You want to see these guys get in there. I know Marsh was a guy that you weren't expecting to have in there because of all the star cornerbacks here on the roster. Jared, you're kind of intrigued by it because of. They've already made the change to go Nate Allen in the starting lineup, but overall, I think Marsh would be the guy. I'm really actually basing that more on what Bobby April said in terms of special teams, because even Marsh, I talked to him at his locker yesterday, and he said, there's a better chance that I'll be active, but there's no guarantee.
Right. I feel like a member of the Hart Foundation with these gloves on.
Very nice.
But on the other side here, we're going to talk to Chip Swain, producer from NFL Films, who had a lot to do with the great documentary last night about Reggie White and Jerome Brown.
It's the gloves, man. Gloves against
it's
your
glove,
head.
Yeah, it's cutting the circulation off. And we will talk to Chip Swain on the other side right here on Eagles Live.
When times are tough, it can be hard to find that little extra bit of money. That's why you should get the Inquirer. It comes with so many coupons and money-saving deals, savings almost fly out of its pages. Use the Inquirer every day, and those savings really, pile up. In fact, last year, the Inquirer carried over $129,000 worth of coupons and special ad offers. That's a heap of money. So get the Inquirer. It could be the difference between getting by and getting going.
McCoy in for the touchdown!
This season, cheer on your Philadelphia Eagles whenever they go on the road. Global Event Forum, the official Philadelphia Eagles fan travel sponsor, is serving up memorable times for all Eagles away games. We're talking Dolphins, Redskins, Giants, and Cowboys. Perfect for family trips, buddy getaways, bachelor and bachelorette parties. Global Event Forum packages include hotel and game tickets. So let's go Eagles, literally. Book now at globaleventforum.com, globaleventforum.com.
Where do you go to find a super business? You know, the ones who do such a super job, they're backed by the super guarantee. Only Super Pages. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, you'll find the super business you need. So next time, let the good guys save the day. Get the super guarantee, only at Super Pages. In the book, on your phone, or online.
Sweet belt. E-reader for textbooks. GPS. HD video cam for lectures. Gamepad. Have you ever considered this? It's got all that and more than 200,000 apps.
Technology to learn and play on the go. Only at Verizon. Buy one Droid 3 by Motorola, the thinnest full QWERTY smartphone ever, for $199.99 and get another one free.
Ricoh is the official document solutions partner of the Philadelphia Eagles. Visit Ricoh at www.ricoh-usa.com. We are pleased to be joined inside the studio by NFL Films producer Chip Swain, who co-produced the Reggie and Jerome A Football Life documentary for NFL Films that debuted Thursday night on NFL Network. Chip was, in fact, the co-producer along with Digger O'Brien. And Chip, the first question that I have for you is, what was it about Reggie and Jerome that made NFL Films want to tell this amazing story?
Well, I mean, I think as Eagles fans, we all know how terrific Reggie was, and I think, you know, many people remember Jerome and how great he was, but I don't think most people knew the bond that they had. And when we started doing our research and figuring out what story we wanted to tell, we realized almost instantly that pairing the two of them together in one show was going to make for something special. And then, of course, the more research we did football wise and even off the field wise and realizing their personalities, it, you know, sort of was a natural story that had to be told.
Chip, as an Eagles fan and a football fan, how much fun did you have just going through all the footage and piecing together what you wanted to use?
It was really fun, actually. I mean, the best part for me was I was in high school in the area and college at the time when these guys were playing. So I have a special affinity toward the team, and reliving that and going through all the footage and going through those, you know, 5-7 years worth of games and going through practice footage that nobody even knew existed. That part, the research part of it was, it's great because I think a lot of people remember, especially Reggie, they remember how good he was, sort of the oral history of it. But seeing it live and or on film, as it were, that made it really sort of hit home, I think, for a lot of people.
Chip, how amazing was it that you had two larger-than-life personalities that were playing along the same position group, but yet in many ways they were polar opposites of one another, where Jerome was a young, brash kid and Reggie was like the elder statesman of that defense?
Right, exactly. I mean, I think that's kind of what drew us to the story and pairing the two of them together, because we knew that there was this odd couple sort of element to their relationship, that, you know, Reggie was the preacher and Jerome was the bad boy. But then the more we talked to people, the more we realized that they were actually obviously very close, but they were actually very similar in a lot of ways. They both were very, you know, like to pull pranks in the locker room and play jokes and these fun-loving spirits and these genuine people. Like, I think that was one of the things that came from the documentary when you watched it, was is that
they were both very genuine, and their public persona wasn't necessarily different or overblown like Reggie's faith and stuff. Like, that's who he was. And Jerome, like, had this larger-than-life personality, and that's who he was in the locker room, too.
Chip, we talked about this earlier, but perhaps the most affecting part of the documentary was the night that Jerome died, and Reggie is addressing the Veterans Stadium crowd. And first of all, in this day and age of Twitter and texting, you will never get a reaction like that again, where an entire stadium of people finds out the news like that, and the audible groan was amazing. Talk about when you found that footage and just that amazing moment in time.
Well, it's interesting because when you go through, obviously, if you guys have watched the show, you see a ridiculous amount of different sources of footage that we had to pull in to try and tell the entire story. And so we knew that footage existed, but we didn't know what else apart from Reggie's initial announcement to the fans was on there. And when we finally got the full tape of it was like 12 minutes or something, and we used sort of the first minute and a half, and you hear the reaction, and you see Reggie, like, when he's standing there with that other guy right before he's about to go on stage, and you can see the emotion in his face and how powerful that was. Like, that's when we sort of knew, like, this was going to be the moment in the show that people are going to remember. Because, you know, up to that point, you had just gotten to learn everything about these two guys, so you cared about Jerome. And obviously his death was sad. And then you cared about Reggie because how it affected him. So, I mean, it was. We sort of looked at each other when we got that full tape, and we knew it was going to be more than just a little quick mention.
We're pleased to be joined inside the studio by Chip Swain, producer for NFL Films, who co-produced A Football Life, the Reggie and Jerome documentary that aired on NFL Network Thursday night. And Chip, one thing that really stood out to me was that even though that these players were known for football, and this football is what brought them together, and football is what made them famous, they were really almost just vehicles for them to be more than football players, where Reggie was the preacher, he was known for all of his ministry work, and then Jerome, even though he was the quote-unquote bad boy, he wasn't afraid to take a stand. I remember the scene where he was protesting against the KKK. He had the foundation or the recreation center that was built in his hometown in Florida. You know, that these guys were just more than football players, that, you know, you talk about the larger-than-life personalities, that they left more of a mark than just what they did in the football field.
Absolutely. And I think Reggie's ministry work and that part of his life was always very well documented. But for the most part, Jerome's, you know, community center and the football camp, people didn't really know about that. And so when we found and got that footage in of him working with those kids down there and seeing a different side of Jerome, other than the reckless, you know, fast living Jerome, that you realize, like, this is a guy that cared a lot about, you know, people. And that's what Keith Jackson told us in one of the interviews, that didn't actually make it into the show. He said, you know, Jerome was the kind of guy that would just give you the shirt off his back. And he actually, I think Keith and Jerome lived together when Keith first came to the Eagles, or Jerome first came to the Eagles, and they, you know, that's just the way it was. You know, he would bring people in.
Chip, one of the great cliches in sports is that there is always next year. That if your team doesn't make the playoffs, if your team loses in the playoffs, you always got a shot to win next year. But from watching this documentary, it really showcased how that's not always the case, because I'm sure, you know, Reggie and Jerome thought they were going to play for many, many years together, but all of a sudden, on that one fateful night, that was all taken away.
No question about it. And I think in talking to the teammates and even, you know, some of the reporters and the journalists, or even the opponents too, they all said, like, it was kind of amazing when you think about the fact that they never won. And not only did they not win, they only won that one playoff game, and that was even after Jerome had passed away. So I think that there was a regret after the fact, but while they were in the middle of it, they always thought that it was going to happen. I mean, why wouldn't they? And they never stopped believing that, really, until everybody left.
Chip, one of my other favorite parts of the documentary was the footage of the rally in Philadelphia to keep Reggie in Philadelphia during his free agency. You talked to, you know, Reggie's wife. You talked to Jimmy Sexton and Norm Braman. What do you think really happened there?
That's an excellent question. I interviewed Sarah White first, very early on in the process, and I talked to her about Reggie leaving the Eagles and whether or not that was something that he wanted to do, and she was pretty adamant about the fact that it wasn't, you know, he didn't want to, and he wanted to stay, and but there was no contract offer. So when I got a chance to interview Norman this summer, I went and I basically approached it with the idea that I was going to find out why he never offered him a contract. And he turned it right around on me and said he did offer a contract, and it was, you know, it blew me away, and I didn't know how to – I was like, are you sure this is what you want to go with kind of thing, you know what I mean? Like, because I had done extensive research, and there was no documentation of that. There was no article or in a book. And, like, it had never been mentioned that there was a contract. So then I actually went back and re-interviewed Sarah about it afterwards to make sure that that was, in fact, the case on her end, and she almost fell out of her chair.
She was so adamant about it. She was completely adamant. She was so adamant that there was no deal ever offered.
Yeah, and it was, you know, as an Eagles fan, to hear her say that he would have stayed if he had offered anything.
Terrible.
You know, you're like, oh, really? Like, oh, geez, that's too bad, you know, because I think that might have changed the fortunes of the Eagles for those years. You mean, I know that there was a contentious relationship between management and Reggie for quite some time leading up to that. So where the truth lies in whether or not there was an actual offer, whether or not it was made too little, too late, who knows? We wanted to just present both sides of the story and let people interpret it as they saw, you know, as they saw fit, really.
No, Chip, and I think you guys did a phenomenal job with that. Congratulations to you and Digger on this amazing documentary. And if for those that didn't get to see it, or for those that don't have NFL Network, NFL Films was kind enough to provide us this six-minute clip from the documentary, Reggie and Jerome, A Football Life. Let's show it for you now.
By 1988, Buddy Ryan's Eagles possessed one of the league's most disruptive defenses. At the center of it were Reggie White and Jerome Brown.
Buddy Ryan let personality mix with talent, and it became greatness.
Ryan won a Super Bowl in Chicago as the architect of the Bears' famed 46 defense. When he got to Philadelphia, they just called it Buddy Ball. And Reggie and Jerome were perfect for it.
The philosophy defensively was to dominate, and it was to dominate through intimidation.
Our defense, we're going to be aggressive until the end. We're going to try to punish and punish, and if you don't like us or whatever, that's besides the point, because we're going to get paid anyway.
Buddy believed that if you punish receivers, if you punish the quarterback, that the human part of them will break.
Who are you going to double team? You going to double team Reggie White? You going to double team Jerome Brown? Who are you going to block?
My rookie year, I remember scrambling and I got tackled from behind, and I was trying to figure out who was that. I got up off the ground. It was Reggie White. And I remember thinking to myself, if I can't outrun someone that big, I'm gonna be taking a lot of hits.
You know, he'd hit you, start to take you down, and man, want to make sure you got the full effect. I used to call it the dead fish.
Jerome Brown was just strong. I mean, I was like, okay, you're there, I'm here, and I'm getting ready to whoop your butt.
He has that ability to get low and lift you up out of the way. That's why double teams couldn't even work. It was the most phenomenal thing in the world to watch.
You come off the ball, he just goes, wah! And you're laying on the ground, and he's in the backfield with his quickness.
That defense, to me, was by far the most imposing and dominating I've ever seen.
He can bull and rush you, but he can run around you. Now he can fake run around you and bull.
They hit me one time very hard, both of them. And Jerome starts patting me on the butt going, that's it, hang in there now.
Attaway, good job. Hang in there. You're okay. Hang in there. And I was like, is he mean this is a compliment? Or is he like, oh, please don't leave because we love hitting you.
The Eagles won 31 games in 3 years.
We got a ball for you. Hey. Great job.
And became the team no one wanted to play. The signature game of Buddy Ryan's defense came in 1990. 11 Redskins were sidelined during what is affectionately referred to in Philadelphia as the body bag game.
Boy, what an unfortunate night for the Redskins, who have been battered tonight.
Don't come in our backyard and talk trash. You can talk it in your own backyard, but when you come to our backyard and you try to start something, you always get your butt kicked.
They were a team that liked to bully teams. They were a team that felt that they could win by intimidating teams. But they were a team that tended to take things for granted more than they should.
Things like playoff victories.
And the Chicago Bears are going to defeat the Philadelphia Eagles in the fog.
3 straight years, the Eagles lost in the first round of the postseason.
And a disappointment for Buddy Ryan, who has now gone 0-3 as a playoff coach with the Eagles.
My theory was the road to the Super Bowl went through Philadelphia in those days. It's just the Eagles never took it.
Following the Eagles' third consecutive playoff loss, Buddy Ryan was replaced by offensive coordinator Rich Kotite.
It was like a betrayal that Norman Brayman has gotten rid of our coach. And not only that, he's bringing his other guy in who was on the team, his offensive coordinator. Was this in the plan all the time?
Now you've got an offensive head coach in Richie Kotite, and he didn't have a good relationship with the defensive side.
Defense is up.
In fact, I remember guys having to keep Jerome away from Richie because there was a big spat one day, and he was going after Kotite. It really hurt the whole chemistry of the team.
They had already lost Buddy Ryan, and on opening day 1991, they lost quarterback Randall Cunningham for the season. But the defense rallied and became just the fifth defense in NFL history to finish first against the pass, first against the run, and first overall.
You didn't look at 91 like, hey, we're heading downhill. We're looking at it when Randall gets healthy, we're back in the hunt again.
Let's go with it, baby. Let's go with it.
The feeling was, we have this defense. This is this good. We get Randall back next year healthy. That's going to be our championship run.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, online banking with bill pay, and the flexible options you need to help make the pieces of your life or your business fit together a little better. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking.
Come out to the 7-Eleven Eagles pep rallies. Meet Swoop, Eagles cheerleaders, Eagles alumni, and have the chance to win great Eagles prizes. Check out the events calendar for more information.
Turn left. You have arrived.
Sweet belt. E-reader for textbooks. GPS. HD video cam for lectures. Gamepad. Have you ever considered this? It's got all that and more than 200,000 apps.
Technology to learn and play on the go, only at Verizon. Buy one Droid 3 by Motorola, the thinnest full QWERTY smartphone ever, for $199.99 and get another one free.
Guys, healthy green tea, tasty black tea, real sugar. That's what makes Snap look extraordinary. Not this.
Healthy green tea, tasty black tea, real sugar.
What'd he say?
No idea.
Snapple. Made from the best stuff on earth.
40 years. 14,610 days. 1.2 billion seconds of Gatorade science, passion, and evolution. All for the 1 second you needed. The G-Series. Prime. Perform. Recover.
Beaky, I've been wondering.
Yes, sweet?
How can you eat ice cream every day and still fly?
Simple. It's not ice cream.
Sweet, sweet. What?
It's frozen yogurt from Turkey Hill Dairy. It's enriched with calcium and vitamin D for stronger wings. Try some.
Mmm, it's delicious. I'm going to get some for myself. God fly.
Turkey Hill Dairy's frozen yogurt and light recipe ice cream. Enriched, timeless goodness imported from Lancaster County.
Welcome back to Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Hopefully we can slap away the 49ers. You know, this seriously, especially after our overconfidence last week leading into the Giants game. I just feel that Giants game last week, and I don't want to rehash what happened, but bottom line, I think it was their Super Bowl. They heard all the stuff about the miracle. They heard about not making
the
playoffs.
Well. That's, I mean,
and the Eagles, you know, these two losses, what's frustrating is the fact that I'm not going to do the woulda, coulda, shoulda. They should be 3-0. Obviously, they're not. They're 1-2. You are what your record is. But they didn't play sharp at all last week, and they still led in the fourth quarter and still had a chance to come away with the win. And that's the one thing that you want to see from this team. And it's not like there's a ton of young guys. There are a lot of new players, but there aren't a ton of, you know, young rookies that are playing in here. You would hope that they would have the instinct and the wherewithal to be able to come away and put those games away in the fourth quarter.
You would hope so, and hopefully they'll be able to do that on Sunday. It's been such a packed show that we haven't even had time to open up the phone lines, but we have our first caller of the day, and who else would it be but the Zomp man. Zomp, what's going on?
Zomp, sir.
What's up, fellas? How are you?
Great to hear from you.
Are you calmed down after last week?
Oh, man. Dude, I've been getting punished all week long.
Can imagine.
I got all these daily news newspapers on my locker when I came in.
Yeah.
All these pictures of Vic. It's been bad. But I got to take it as good, with the good, you know?
You'll get him back later in the season.
Of course.
But I don't want to. I'm over the Giant game, you know. I mean, it took them 3 years to beat us. Come on now.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
Let's move on.
But just move on, yeah. But listen, I want to just see like I talked to you, what was it, 2 weeks ago? I think, Bo. Remember, I said I didn't want really like to see Namdi like a Charles Woodson moving around. I just want him to cover the best guy, press him. And I know we have to show different things, but this week I think is different. I mean, unless Brian Rowe shows something, I mean, I guess the smart thing to do is put Namdi on Vernon Davis. I guess, I'm assuming. You know, Frank Gore's banged up. Hopefully we can contain him. And on the offensive side of the ball, I want to see DeSean Jackson get the ball more. I want to see a lot more underneath passes because what I'm concerned about is that I see a lot of defenses know when you play the Philadelphia Eagles, you always have a safety over the top of DeSean, and they take away the deep ball. I want to see Marty Mordenweg have a game plan where we could beat the defenses underneath.
Well, I do think it's important that they get DeSean involved, and one of the things he was talking about in that interview is that, you know, they look on tape and safeties are playing 20 yards down the field from the line of scrimmage, and then when they go up against the Eagles, they're playing 30, 35 yards deep, just not letting DeSean get past them by all means necessary. So, you know, I think that's something that they'll look at to get DeSean the ball in those intermediate routes. Remember, He scored long touchdowns on intermediate routes last year against the Detroit Lions. Remember 2 years ago against the Kansas City Chiefs, he took a slant to the house.
The Jacksonville game.
That's right. Yeah. So you know, I think they will make an effort to get DeSean involved this week.
Yeah, but definitely this team is not a 1-2. I mean, your record is what you are, but definitely talent all around, and it's just, you know, it's mind-boggling. You see everything: quarterback, corners. Even offensive left tackle. I mean, I even think the offensive line is playing really well, creating holes for McCoy. It's just, you know, I think Vic, you know, if Vic can't be this pocket passer, let him loose. Let him be vintage Vic and just do what he used to do in Atlanta. And if he finds the open man, go for it. If not, I mean, I would like him to be a pocket passer, but we shall see what happens. And it's not. And remember, guys, one thing. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. So everybody that's counting us out, let him. We'll see what happens in the end.
That's right. Do you got a prediction for this week, or did you already give one?
No, I got to give one. I'm going to say 21-13 Birds. Let's get on a winning streak here.
Certainly. Let me give an Eagle chance. Zomp, always great to hear from you. Thank you very much for the phone call.
All right. He wants to give us the chance.
Sorry. All right, everyone. All right, quiet down now.
All right, quiet up. Let's go. Ready? E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
Thank you very much, Zomp, sir.
Always need that little boost of energy.
That's right.
On a Friday.
He was talking about, you know, it's important, obviously, how you start, how you finish. And you mentioned to Troy Vincent, you know, in 2000, the Eagles started 1-2. They ended up 11-5. In 2003, they started 1-2, ended up 12-4.
They were 2003 season, it was not just they were 0-2. They opened Lincoln Financial Field and were shut out by Tampa Bay after losing to Tampa Bay in the NFC title game to close Yvette the previous year. The second game, the Patriots came to town and just whooped on the Eagles. It was double-digit loss. It was embarrassing. I mean, that was a time when I think it was almost a legitimate concern to be like, wow, this team is not going to go anywhere this season. Just not because they were 0-2, but they were looking bad in two home losses to go 0-2. But they ran off that 9-game win streak. They had the miracle at the Meadowlands with Westbrook. I mean, it was a magical season. As Troy said, I was surprised to hear Troy say that he thought that was the best team, because I thought by the time they got to the NFC Championship game, losing Westbrook, they kind of ran out of fumes. And obviously you saw what happened when the Carolina's corners clamped down on the receivers. But, you know, it's far from over. You see teams like, I pointed this one out the other day, to someone, Denver started 6-0 in Josh McDaniels' first year as a head coach there. I think it was 2008. They finished 8-8 and missed the playoffs.
Yeah,
so
a lot of games left to be played. A lot of meat left on that bone. Let's go to Jake in Northeast Philly.
Yo, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Jake?
I don't know. Did you guys give away the fourth clue yet? Because I think I got your answer.
We're holding off.
We're a little bit later in the show. We're doing an interview in a few minutes, and then probably, I guess, around maybe 12:55 or so. We're
going to open up there.
Sorry, Jake. You got anything else you want to talk about?
I will give you a prediction for the game.
Okay. Excellent. Let's throw it in there.
31-14 Birds.
31-14. Jake, thank you very much. For,
I'll be calling back.
Yep, that's all fine. Right. No, so I think he's at least I could tell he's on the right track. He knows where this is going. So
I know the answer. Trust me.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll get you back on after we hear from Matt Barrows from the Sacramento Bee, who spent the week in Youngstown, Ohio. Is it about time to go to the interview or? Yeah. So you know what we'll do? We'll take our commercial break now. We'll dial up Matt on the other side here. We'll find out what's going on. We'll go behind enemy lines. To see what the deal is with the 49ers, to see how they're going to try to contend with Michael Vick and how they're going to try to utilize Vernon Davis in the pass game against this Eagles defense. And then after that, then we'll open it up for the final clue.
Two tickets
to Sunday's game. Very, very easy as that. So we'll take this commercial break and we'll hear from Matt Barrows on the other side.
This aisle isn't big enough for two zeros.
Any venue can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Is that all you got?
I'm up to my knees in zero calories. Pepsi to the max, so let's drink all of these.
Snoop! Pepsi Max. Too much taste to be called a zero.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our post-game show presented by Rico.
Saving for our child's college fund was getting expensive.
Yes, it was. So to save some money, we taught our 5-year-old how to dunk.
Scholarship. Honey, go get him.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
She's even more beautiful now. Are you me? Quite a while from now. So, how'd I do? You did great. But don't forget about us. We still need financial advice. We have to protect and grow our money. You never know what's around the corner, Grandpa.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
All right, welcome back to Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. A little bit of a change of plans, a curveball, so to speak. We're pleased to be joined by former NFL head coach and current NFL Network broadcaster Jim Mora Jr. Jim, thank you very much for taking some time to join us here.
My pleasure. I'm happy to be here with you guys.
So talk about, you were out of practice today. You have a long-term relationship with Michael Vick. You coached him when he was in Atlanta. Talk about the bond and what you're seeing from him as he goes through this season here early on.
Mike and I are still close. Communicate, you know, fairly regularly. It's difficult during the season because he's busy. But I see a guy that has really matured. I see a guy whose life is on the right path. And I'm talking about off the football field now. I see a guy who's very settled as a person, as a player. I mean, he just looks different. He just looks right. I mean, I still see the great talent. I mean, the guy's got undeniable talent, and he's got great arm strength. We all know he can run the football. But I see a guy that's really committed to his craft, and I think you see that a lot in professional athletics, especially in football. I've been around a lot of guys that early in their career, they don't really understand what it takes to be great, and they rely on their talent alone. And then all of a sudden when they put it all together, they say, okay, listen, if I study a little bit more and pay a little bit more attention to the coaching points, boy, I can really be something. And I think that you're really seeing that with Mike. I think it's a perfect situation with him, for him, with Andy. And I'm just really happy for the guy.
How great is it seeing him fulfill that potential? Because I'm sure when you coach him in LA, you knew what he was capable of. Yeah. You knew what he could do. Well, how great is it that he's actually fulfilling it now?
Well, you know what? He was great back then. I mean, he played in 2 Pro Bowls the 3 years we were together. But it's what I love is seeing other people recognize it. That's what I like. I like the fact that people are recognizing the unique skill set that he has. I like the fact that last year he proved everybody that, yes, I can throw from the pocket. That doesn't mean I'm a pocket passer.
Of course.
Because the best thing that he does is get out and force defenses to adjust to him and put pressure on the defenses on the edge. But I'm just happy that I don't feel vindicated. I think it's kind of maybe vindication for him, you know. And I don't think he looks at it that way because he's not – I think he's just doing what he does.
I love his competitive spirit.
Oh, it's
awesome. You can tell he's been frustrated the last couple of weeks having to come out of the ball games. He voiced his frustration in something that we really haven't seen in Philadelphia since he's been here. He's been very calm, very cool, very collected. He really let his emotions know after the game last Sunday where he talked about the hits that he's taken, talked about the frustration coming out of ball games. And this week, he didn't leave any doubt about playing. He said, 100%, I'm playing this Sunday. And if I'm going to come out of the game, you're going to have to take me on a cart to get out of the game. Well, talk about that competitive spirit that Mike brings to the table.
Well, he's a great competitor. I mean, he loves to be out there with his teammates trying to win the game. And, you know, he's a guy that feels like he's let people down if he's not on the field, whether it's his own doing or someone else's, you know. And, I mean, when he got hit and broke his hand, that wasn't his fault. But, you know, he takes it as a personal affront that he's not out there able to help his teammates. You can see by the look on his face.
Yeah.
And then after the game, that was just clear frustration, but he still was composed. You know, maybe a younger Mike might have said some things that he truly regretted. And I thought that coming out Monday and making another statement was just another sign of his maturity. But, you know, I didn't I thought he was under control on Sunday after the game, and I don't think people realize how emotional that time is, especially for a player that's been out there and played his heart out and gotten hurt and his team's lost at home to a divisional rival. Those are tough experiences, and it's just another sign of his maturity.
Jim, what are you seeing from opposing teams as they try to defend Michael Vick, and now that he is this outstanding quarterback?
Well, I think that every coordinator goes into the game and says, we got to hit this guy. Okay, he's not a big quarterback, and he is somewhat fearless with his body. We got to hit this guy. And I think the other thing is you're saying, let's, even though he's proven that, yes, he can throw from the pocket, let's make him be a pocket passer. And I don't know that that's out of disrespect to Mike's ability to throw from the pocket. I really don't think it is. I think it's more out of the fear that if we let him get out of the pocket, he's got us either way, because he can run, he can pull up and throw. You know, he can do so many things when he's outside of the pocket. So I think people still want to keep him in there and then pressure him, you know, pressure him and make decisions quickly. You know, get the ball out of his hand quickly to the right guy. So,
Jim, I want to ask you real quick about the 49ers, because you have a lot of ties to that organization. On offense, it seems like Jim Harbaugh has done a very good job of crafting game plans to maximize Alex Smith's potential. And on defense, it's a 3-4 scheme that's very, very good at attacking the quarterback and also stout against the run. Just talk about the challenges that they're going to present for the Eagles this Sunday.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head with regards to their offense. When you look at their numbers, they're awful. I mean, they're last in the league.
Yeah.
Yet they're 2-1, and they're not turning the ball over. And so I think Jim Harbaugh is doing a great job of crafting game plans that maximize what Alex Smith can do and staying away from things that he can't do. They are not running the ball effectively right now, but they're still trying to run it. So they're keeping people honest, and they're going to continue to run it because that's what they do best, or they will do best. And then defensively, they've got a really good front seven. I mean, they're stout, they're strong, they're big, they're physical. They know what they're doing. They play with good technique. They're disciplined, and you know, they pose some problems. And their secondary is a little bit of a weakness, you know. If you can exploit their secondary, it's just hard to do because they get pressure on you. Yeah. You know, Patrick Willis is one of the best players in the league defensively. Switching back to the offense, I think one of the big problems is, you know, how do you handle Vernon Davis? I mean, this guy is he's big, he's fast, he's physical. So if you try to put a linebacker on him, he runs away from you. If you try to put a safety on him, you know, he
too physical.
He's too physical. Yeah. You know, he just beats him up. So you just got to find ways to try to defend him.
How much are you enjoying the broadcasting side?
It's fun. I mean, I enjoy it. I enjoy spending Fridays out with different teams every week and getting a chance to talk to coaches that I know, players that I've coached before. You know, this is like old home week for me here. I know a ton of people here in the organization, players. So it's a lot of fun.
Jim Moore, Jim, we look forward to hearing you this weekend. Thank you very much for joining us here inside the studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
At the end of the day, you can't fool people. Nothing sells like the truth. From our fresh pack sauce, to our fresh veggies, to our 100% fresh dough, never frozen, at Papa John's, we believe fresh is better. Nobody does what Papa John's does.
Carry out a large one-topping pizza for only $7.99. That's a large Papa John's pizza with your choice of one topping for only $7.99. Carry out only.
Everything's better when Papa's in the house. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Rico is the official document solutions partner of the Philadelphia Eagles. Visit Rico at www.rico-usa.com.
Host your next important event at Lincoln Financial Field. With a wide variety of spaces and amenities, Lincoln Financial Field is the perfect place to host an event of any size. Each of our spaces offer a unique atmosphere that can be customized to suit your needs. From corporate events, galas, and banquets, to weddings and other social events, Lincoln Financial Field offers you the chance to make your events a guaranteed success and wow your attendees.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, online banking with bill pay, and the flexible options you need to help make the pieces of your life or your business fit together a little better. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
All right, thank you very much to Jim Mora Jr. for outstanding insight. I mean, he's worked with both the Niners and Eagle and the Falcons organizations, Coach Michael Vick, so certainly has very, very close ties to a lot of people here in the organization. So just some tremendous insight. And, you know, the fact that he's a former coach and knew Michael Vick from the land, seeing what he's done now, it's amazing the transformation that has really taken place over the last couple of years with Mike.
Absolutely, and it was good insight on, you know, what they're – what opposing defenses are doing to take away Mike. I think you did a very good job with that interview being thrown upon you at the last second. Nice work.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Now, so bottom of screen, the last clue. Now, our man Jake was calling in a little while ago to try to get on the air. Now we can finally give away two tickets to this Sunday's game. And let's go with the rules here. Do they have to name the other clues?
Here is the deal. You will have to call and not only give us the four clues in order, but you have to tell us who would be next if we were going to give you a fifth clue. I think you'll understand it if you've been following along. So first person to call in, give us the first four plus the fifth, the unnamed fifth, will win two tickets to Sunday's game against the San Francisco 49ers as the Eagles look to get back to 500.
Exactly. We're going to hear from head coach Andy Reid in just a little bit here. If you need the phone number, 215-339-6709. It's a little quiet there in the NovaCare Complex Auditorium. Practice reports early on looking like Darryl Tapp and Jerry Macklin practicing once again. Jaquay Parker, Brandon Hughes, no surprise that neither of them were out on the practice field. It looks like that they will not be available for this Sunday's game against the 49ers. Again, the Eagles looking to get back to 2-2 after, you know, a two-game losing streak where they led in both games in the fourth quarter. Very, very tough situations. Michael Vick knocked out of each of those two ball games, so you're definitely looking to see him fight his way and lead this team this Sunday. And you had the interview with Deshaun earlier. I definitely agree. I think he's poised for a big game against his team. He had a great week one against the Rams. Last couple of weeks, you see the teams with that umbrella coverage taking him out of the game pretty much, opening up the things underneath. But there's times where Deshaun's running those underneath routes, and this happened on, I think it was a third down play against the Giants last week, where Vick delivered the ball over the middle on the in route, and he dropped the pass. It was a tough pass, so it was a tough catch, but it's the type of play that you got to come up with every once in a while.
Yeah. Well, we have our first supposed contestant for the tickets here. Let's go to the phone lines. Shay, is that correct?
Yes.
Shay?
Shay, what's going on there?
All right.
They're trying to win some Eagles tickets.
All right.
What do you got?
What were the four clues in order?
Reggie White.
Yeah.
Clyde Simmons.
Yep.
Trent Cole.
Okay.
And Hugh Douglas.
Okay. All right. And who would be the fifth? Shay?
Who would be next in that order? Tough one. It's a tough one there.
It's tough.
I don't know.
Well, I'm sorry, Shay.
Thank you very much for trying.
Thanks
here.
For
so
maybe, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, hit your computer hard right now. Maybe you can call back and sneak
exactly.
in, sneak in the answer.
Exactly. So no. Well, so phone. We'll open tough, back up the
it's
phone
tough,
lines
this
there.
Is a tough business.
You know, it's. I was doing the. I did the pep rally before the Rams game. It was a couple weeks ago. It was at Chickie's Pizza in South Philadelphia, and I was emceeing the event. Oh. And are we gonna have? Oh, looks like we'll be pretty close to soon. Let's see if we can get
send
the person
through.
Let's get who's up? Gabe.
Gabe and Philly. Gabe, quickly.
Gabe,
quickly.
Give us the four clues.
All right, Reggie White.
Yep.
Give us number five, real quick, right now.
Oh, Greg Brown.
You got it. Stay
on
the
line.
You got the tickets.
Yes.
Here comes Andy Reid to
there
the podium.
There we go.
All right, injuries. Brandon Hughes is out. JP is out with the high ankle sprain. And then Darryl Tapp is listed as doubtful. He has gone through the last couple of days of practice, but we'll just have to see. It's a day-to-day situation. Look forward to the challenge of playing the 49ers. We know they're a good football team. We've had a chance to look at the tape, and I think our guys have had a good week of preparation preparing for them. So look forward again to bringing them into Lincoln Financial Field and introducing them to our fans. Time's yours. Jeremy is on your sheet here, will be probable. And he went through practice today. Michael Vick is probable. He'll be listed on there as probable. He went through the practices. So.
What
did
you see at practice these last couple of days as far as did you see more than you saw maybe in previous weeks, or have you seen any new intensity or any kind of difference?
Well, I think the guys have had a good week of practice, and they're they've worked the game plan and done it with a good attitude, so I think they're just looking forward to playing.
Is Macklin pretty much fine with lingering?
I didn't see anything. Now, we limited his work yesterday, so today he did all the stuff, and I think he felt pretty good. So he felt good coming out of yesterday, which I thought was important. So.
It must have been a really mild injury, right?
It wasn't. It wasn't too bad. No.
Yeah,
well, listen, I mean, today he had very little swelling in there, and his hand seemed strong, and I think he'll do nothing but get better as with time here. So we'll just see. Right now it looks like he's okay doing that. See how it is tomorrow.
Or the game, where that'd be kind of like a how he feels sort of thing.
Well, we'll just see. We'll see how he does. I mean, that's all I can tell you. See how he feels.
Do you know, with Hughes out, there was some talk that either maybe Kurt Marsh or Jaquan Jarrett might dress. Do you know which of those guys might play? Or
say that I didn't hear what you.
In Hughes's place, with Hughes out, would either Kurt Marsh or Jaquan Jarrett take his place?
Yeah, listen, we gave both of them reps. Jaquan got a little bit more than Marsh. And then I'll just see how it goes. I'm going to see how Tapp's doing, and he's in that mix too. So we'll just see how the guys are feeling. Really, the two guys, Hughes and Parker, are the two that are out. So I've got to make that decision. But they all got work. Marsh got the most. Jaquan got the most. So.
Did you wind up moving Cullen outside at the end much at all last game?
No.
Mentioned that as a possibility, and
right. The guys were able to go and felt good at it. So I mean, we were just monitoring to see how they felt, and we know we have the flexibility to do that if needed. And then Hunt got a few snaps, so that helped in there too.
So you felt that Jason and Trent were pretty strong though in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they did all right. Yep.
Personnel decisions on defensive side of the ball. How do you feel? This week went in light of that.
Yeah, I thought the guys. Listen, they've all got a role, so that's a. That's the important thing, and the same guys, they're all going to play. And I thought the guys that we moved around a little bit, I thought they did well in their role.
Andy, how close is Jim Harbaugh's version of the West Coast offense to yours, and is it possible that could help your defense with some of the moving parts this week?
Well, they have what you do with the offense is you work it around the personnel that you have. He's got a lot of very skilled people, and the one thing is they're all getting involved. So, it's similar. Yeah, it is similar. The basic fundamentals are similar. I think he's done a heck of a job. Alex is playing very well, and he's on the same page with all those receivers and tight ends. He's got a tight end and a fullback tight end that are very gifted, and they utilize both those guys quite a little bit.
Maybe it's something that with some of the guys moving around, guys coming in and out of the lineup this week, that it might help some of those guys that they stuff they've seen through camp and everything else.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm sure they're not going to, you know, they're going to run whatever plays they run, and then we've got to make sure we cover them. So could it help? I don't think it'll hurt, but, you know, imagine. So.
Is the special teams you're playing, 49ers, are they as good as you've seen in a while? They seem like they're controlling field position, big plays.
Yeah, they do a nice job. They've got a their coverage units are good, too, but they've obviously got explosive returners. And, you know, Ginn is a pretty good one, I'll tell you. He's very gifted.
With Macklin coming off the injury, will you still use him on punt returns?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll just see how he feels, you know, how Deshaun. They kind of work that out and see how – we'll stay in touch with Jeremy and just see how he's feeling as things progress.
Coach, what's your early impressions of Nnamdi Asamoah in terms of his assimilating to your defense and into your culture?
Well, he's getting used to it. He's a phenomenal guy to work with, and you know, you can see why he's one of the top corners in the National Football League. I mean, you can see that. So, and all challenges he takes on, so he works at it. So.
So there you have it. Not a particularly news-filled press conference from Andy Reid, but you get the news that wide receiver Jeremy Macklin and Michael Vick will be listed as probable to play against the San Francisco 49ers. Good news for Macklin there. Good news for the Eagles' passing attack, obviously. Defensive end Darrell Tapp is doubtful with that pectoral strain. He's been a limited participant in practice throughout the week. Sounds like there's not a great chance that he's going to play, which puts a little bit more pressure on Trent Cole and Jason Babin at defensive end, and Philip Hunt as a rotation guy there. And Jaquay Parker and Brandon Hughes will both be out. A little nugget from Andy Reid that it sounds like the guy to probably replace Hughes in terms of special teams will be Jaquan Jarrett, the second-round pick, the livest one from Bedford-Stuyvesant out of Temple University. We're going to take your phone calls here, 215-339-6709 on the other side of the break, and then we'll stick around until we get Michael Vick in the locker room ahead of this Eagles game against the 49ers as the Eagles look to get back to 500. Quick commercial break now. Back with your calls on the other side.
Where do you go to find a super business? You know, the ones who do such a super job, they're backed by the super guarantee. Only Super Pages. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, you'll find the super business you need. So next time, let the good guys save the day. Get the super guarantee, only at Super Pages. Online, on your phone, or in the book. Look for your Super Pages being delivered now.
Come out to the 7-Eleven Eagles pep rallies. Meet Swoop, Eagles cheerleaders, Eagles alumni, and have the chance to win great Eagles prizes. Check out the events calendar for more information.
And, you know, I play the game that we love to play and, you know, do our jobs and try to get a win.
How important is it going to be protecting the football, especially with the fact that you're going to have the hand going into this week?
It's important to protect the ball each and every week and on each and every down. So. You know, the hand is something that I won't think about. I try to just go out and play and just try to be effective and play my part.
Mike, could you just clear up what happened at the end of the first half against the Giants? There's been speculation about, you know, when it was they had to rush guys on to get the field goal.
I don't care about that. It's over with. I mean, whatever happened against New York happened. You can't change it. So, I mean, why even dwell on it? We got to worry about the San Francisco 49ers. I think that's more important. You agree?
I'm just curious.
Obviously not, but it's all good.
You said you might have to, you know, on Tuesday or Monday, you said you might have to play through a lot of pain on Sunday. You just have to bear through it. Is there, right now, how is it feeling? Is it not as much pain as you thought, or is it going to be a degree?
I mean, it's sore. It's real sore, but you know what? I feel like I played through worse, and, you know, I think the most important thing is to go out and just try to play and be conscious of protecting it, but at the same time, just letting it all go. And, you know, if it's too much that I can't bear and something's really wrong, then I'll probably come out the game. But hopefully not. You know, I keep saying my prayers and hopefully things will work out.
What do you think you've shown to your teammates by saying that 100% certain you'll be out there and letting them know that you're not going to miss this game for the world?
I mean, just like last week, you know, I had a concussion. I was, you know, just, you know, all week last week, because it was a rough week. But, you know, I hold myself accountable. I feel like, every Sunday is a time for me to go out and display what I've been put on this earth to do. And I won't do it selfishly. If I can't be out there, then I won't be out there. But I want to, you know, show my teammates that they can count on me in times of need. And, you know, I just love playing this game. I love playing the game, and I love playing with them.
I know Favre and Brady have always said during their streaks of playing games in a row that the only way a quarterback can show how tough he is by showing up every Sunday. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, just by showing up. I mean, you know, it's easy to say, I can't play, I'm going to sit this one out. But, you know, we blood, sweat, and tears, you know, all through training camp, you know, each and every practice and in here every day in the building trying to get better. And, you know, we want to accomplish that one common goal. And the only way we're going to do it is by doing it together, sticking together, and believing in one another.
Mike, how's Macklin look, practicing this week? He was kind of a little slow early on.
Macklin's looking good. He looks like he's 100%. I don't know, but, you know, he's doing well. He's doing well. Had a good week of practice, and I'm going to try to translate that over to the game.
Mike, how big a game is this? You said that, you know, it's all about staying together. Have you seen that type of urgency in practice, and how big of a game is this?
Yeah, we understand that, you know, we put ourselves in this situation, and it obviously could have been better. But, you know, it had certain things to happen that prevented that. And some things you have control over, some things you don't. And the only thing we can control is the situation that's abreast right now, and that's going out and taking care of it. And, you know, we as players are the only ones that can control that.
There's a lot of new pieces in place. How close do you think it is to all kind of clicking together for you?
I don't know. I mean, hopefully this week. You know what I mean? So we'll see, man. I mean, you know, each and every snap, when we're all together, we can continue to get better. Each and every week, learn from our mistakes and experiences out in the field together, and hopefully we'll continue to gel and things will turn around for us, and I think it will.
Mike, this is a defense that plays a lot of man coverage. Just talk about those matchups and how you think they'll be favorable for you guys.
It's a good defense, man. That's all I can say about the San Francisco 49ers. You watch them on film. You watch the last three games they played. This is a really good defense, and they're strong, they're stout, got good players, and you know, we're gonna have to be aware of what's going on out there, and we definitely have to attack these guys. So, you know, they do a lot of different things, and we're gonna have to make sure that we can count off it.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks a lot.
So there's Michael Vick. A lot of respect for this 49ers defense, and rightly so. They're one of the best defenses in football right now. Second best in the league against the run, allowing less than 3 yards per carry. Very good in the red zone. Actually, best red zone defense in football, which is a tough thing for the Eagles because they have not gotten the job done in the red zone.